serve the Lord, one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Yes, sir.
The scripture says he's one God, Father of all, who is above all, he through all. And this afternoon we thank God that he is in us all. And that's what we do at the Agape Apostolic Church of Deliverance. We serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen. I don't condemn any other church, but a lot of people have the spirit. Lord, but sometimes we have to question whether or not they do the truth. Amen. This afternoon, when God looks at us and judges us, we want him to see the spirit and most of all, the truth. Amen. We went over not too long ago when it comes to truth. It comes from the word truth, purity, or sincerity, which is a Greek word, which is eloquimes, which means to be sun-judged. Amen. When it comes to us serving God, we're sun-judged. And if you don't know what that means, if you take a fabric that we find through the Word of God, you can disguise fabric in a way that you can make something that's not authentic or real look real. But if you want to know how authentic it is, if you want to know how real it is, when you hold it up in the sunlight and you allow the sun to pass through it, it reveals imperfections. It reveals those things that are not real or true. So this afternoon, Lord, we want to be sun judges. But the scripture said, with the sun of righteousness. Amen. They were talking about the S-U-N, but we're talking about now the S-O-N. To serving God, how can you deceive the master, the creator?
Yes.
How can you deceive God? How can you hide from God who sees and knows all the things? Because the scripture says, he, Lord, I know you kept Israel. That was a natural Israel, but I thank God today the church is a spiritual Israel.
Yes.
So I heard somebody say, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. All right, let's stand. James chapter 1. Amen. We have, we're going to Pastor Harper's anniversary this afternoon. It starts at 4 o'clock. The bus will be going. If we have enough people that want to ride on the bus will be going. We'll be leaving Troy at 4. We can get about 4:30. It does start at 4 o'clock. And I know there's some engagements and things that are planned, but all we have to do is let's at least show up for a little while. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
We're going to read James chapter 1. We're going to read verses 2 and 3. And then we're going to skip down and read verses 12 through 17. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And then we're going to skip, well, actually 2, 3, and 4. Then we're going to skip down and read verses 12 through 17. If we all have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Can we just, let's be live, okay? Amen.
Right.
Amen. I heard one of someone say, God is not. He's here.
Ah.
Now, how do you know he's alive? Because I can feel it in my
head.
I can feel it in my feet. Thank God, I can feel it in my
head.
Chapter verse 2 reads, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of heaven. Father, we thank you for the honor of being in your presence. Lord, we thank you that in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and Lord, at thy right hand, we thank you there are not troubles, but at thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. And Lord, as we are assembled in thy presence, oh God, we ask you for your anointing. Lord, send thy anointing, Lord, to break every yoke. Lord, send thy anointing to set the captives free. Lord, send thy anointing to heal up the bruise. Lord, send thy anointing to open up the eyes of the spiritually blind. Lord, send your anointing in our words that it may find a lodging place in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. That, Lord, our desire this afternoon is speak for my servant hears. And Lord, we ask you to rebuke any hindering spirits. Lord, anything that would withhold our word from coming forth with power and conviction, we summon it now in the name of Jesus. And can we all say in Jesus' name?
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 We thank God this afternoon, amen, once again for God being love.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God that because he's God and because he knows everything there is about us. That's what I like about our God. You know, I don't have to tell him anything because the psalmist said he's acquainted with all of my ways.
Yeah.
Because he's our God, he knows my down sins. Now, listen to this. You can read it on your own spare time in Psalm 139, but read it on your own time. It said he knows when you sit down. God knows when you stand up. God knows when you lie down. God even knows when you go about your way. And it says concerning our God, he knows everything that he is about us. And because he's God, the scripture says he's beset before us, he's behind us, he's to the right, he's to the left. And then if you're not convinced there, he said, if you make your bed in hell, even thou in your head. If you ascend up into the heavens and go to the utmost parts of the sea, even there, our God will find us. So I don't know about your God, but I'm so glad I know that God. Lord, he'll never leave me, never forsake me, but he's with me all the way, even until the end. So I was younger, and I learned about God as a young person, and when I got old, amen, I value and I treasure my heavenly relationship with my Father. I treasure that relationship because I realize in that relationship, he's with me always. You know, God has been entrusting us with a whole lot of things here. You know, a lot of us, we're particular about a lot of things. You know, some of you have those clothes. When you put on those clothes are the best thing you ever had. Amen. You go through all the meticulously go through all the effort of ironing and laying it out and making sure everything is color coordinated so everything flows just right. You know, we go through all of that effort, and then if you have a house, you know, you want to make sure everything's in place and everything is just right. And if you got a car, you're like, now you can't eat in here. If you want to eat, you got to clean up behind yourself. We're meticulous. But the Bible said all of that is going to pass away. But there is one thing that God has entrusted all of us with, and that's our soul. That is the only thing that will abide forever somewhere. The same energy, the same diligence, the same effort that we put forth in those things, the Bible said, where moth and rust doth corrupt. How much more should we put more energy into our souls? It's a part of you that's going to live on forever somewhere. Amen. Contrary to what a lot of people say, you're only going to wind up in one or two places. If you're faithful and righteous with God, you'll wind up in paradise. But if you're disobedient and walk contrary to God, you'll wind up in the Bible calls it the lake of fire. Two choices. And as an individual, you make the best choice. but my soul is too important.
Come on.
You know, who knows what Russian roulette is? You know, Russian roulette, I actually had a friend that died doing that many years ago, playing that Russian roulette. You know, you put a bullet in the barrel, a six-barrel chamber, and you spin it. Amen. You don't know where the bullet is, and when you play Russian roulette, and somebody will hold up their head, and they pull the trigger, and they live, you're all right. But there's a chance you take. Unfortunately, this individual didn't make it because when they pulled the trigger, it blew his head off. He played Russian roulette. Well, there's a lot of things you can play Russian roulette with, but your soul is a part of you that only goes one way and it only has one time. Give God your best. Amen. In that great day, when we appear before God, and God, we have to give an account for all the things done in our lives. Amen. Whether the Bible says it be good or whether it be evil, we have to give an account. Amen. God is keeping a record of every move, every thought. He even knows the intents and contents of our heart. God is keeping that record. Amen. And then we appear before God when time shall be no more. When we are all in eternity forever. Amen. And we appear before God and we have to give an account to God. When we look back, what excuses will we be able to give God for not being obedient and not living a life that was pleasing to Him? We're going to stand before God and God is going to say, okay, brother or sister, I got the books. Amen. And I'm reading and this is somewhat unfavorable for you because there was a whole lot of wrong that you never made right. There's a whole lot of time in sin you never got it right. So God's going to say, as much as I'm a merciful God, as much as I'm a loving God, as much as I'm a forgiving God, my word cannot be altered nor changed. And unfortunately, I left on record for you. The wages of sin is death. Amen. But the gift of God for those that get it right is eternal life. We have a choice. Amen. You won't be able to appear. You appear before God. You won't be able to blame anybody else. You won't be able to give an excuse. Lord, I would have done it with this. God said, no, no. I came to you as a prophet. You know the times that I worked on your conscience and nobody was around. It was just me and you. And in your heart and in your soul, you thought, I've been wrong. You know, that doesn't happen to you. I'm going to tell you, that happened to me. But when we're wrong, we need to do something to make it right. That's why the scripture says, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven and whose iniquities have been covered. You are blessed. So in James here, we're reading about being blessed. Amen. Let's go back to this. Verse 2 reads, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into a lot of different tests. Diverse temptations are tests. Well, what is the test? What's the purpose of the test? It's a proving period to prove if you will live for God or not. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. Now, all of us have probably seen court TV, or we've seen court, we've been to court. Some of us have spared, we've been to court. Amen. We've had some issues where we had to appear before the judge. If you have seen somebody, you heard of somebody, they will put on trial. When your faith is being tried, you have never tried obscurity alone. When your trial is always in the open. Well, God says, you are blessed is the man. Amen. Well, I'm ahead of myself. I don't get to bless yet. Knowing this that the trying of your faith. You're being put on display right now. You say, well, Lord, why don't you do it so nobody else can see it, just me and you, because you're being tried. Because you're being tried, it is an open display before all. God is Amen. God is trying every last one of us every day to see if we're going to be perfect and entire. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man that perseveres. Amen. In your trial, in your test, as your faith is on display, blessed is the one that perseveres. Blessed is the man, it says, that endures temptation, for when he is tried. After you finish going through the trial, you know, I thank God that when he tries us, thank God he has some angels on the jury. When God tries me, I don't want no man on the jury, because that man might have some idiosyncrasies or some stuff there on the inside that he might make a personal opinion that may be wrong. But I thank God that, you know, this is just facetious. It's not a true story, right? So don't think that when you go to heaven, God's going to have some angels up there trying you. I'm just, you know, I'm just making it interesting so I don't lose you. But I thank God that the angels will be there when I'm on trial. I don't have to sugarcoat, I don't have to hide anything, because they're all in the book. Amen? It's in the book. So when God is trying me and he said, well, you were wrong here, but yes, you got it right. You made this mistake, but you got it right. God said, you're going to say it again. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the joy of the Lord. How many are waiting? Lord, I want to get in your joy. Lord, I want to be in your presence. Lord, I want to live with you forever someday. Well, to get there, you got to be faithful. Amen. So it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, the Lord, for he shall receive the promise of life, which the Lord has promised him. Let's get down a little bit for the sake of time to verse 16. It says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, thank God for the good. Every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, and as I read that, sometimes when you read the word of God, it's just like, oh, what message are you trying to get through this scripture? You know, it said no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So when I did a little word study in the Greek, amen, this variableness comes from a Greek word which is paralege. Amen. And paralege is an astronomical term, a term in astronomy, which means that it will not change. And the illustration that they give concerning God is that, you know what happened in a lot of places in the United States, we have four seasons, summer, winter, spring, and fall. Because as the sun changes and the shadows fall, the seasons change. Amen. Like right now, we're in the summer season. So this word that they use to describe God is paralege, which means that God is the same every season. Amen. There's no variableness. Neither is there any shadow turn. Amen. Though the sun may be blocked out in one area, God will not change. He's consistent. God is the same. So our thought this afternoon is there is no spiritual detours. Amen. You know, there are a whole lot of attributes about God. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. Amen. But I think we need to, there are some intellectuals we just can't acquire. We can't be omnipresent, we can't be omnipotent, and we can't be omniscient. But true to God's word, we can be no variableness by the shadow of turn. We can purpose in our mind no spiritual detour for me. Amen. Paul said it this way, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end, we will be with Christ. Amen. That means there's no shadow of turn. Amen. Nothing that happens in my life is going to cast a shadow
care how adversity comes against me, with God I will be the same. We are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Now, a whole lot of us started off on the good side. Hey, and we were excited. Oh, I found God. All I've been looking for all my life. But then when those shadows in our lives start to shine, we begin to change. We begin to go away from God. We begin to lean along the wrong way. Well, Satan said himself, no spiritual detour. Well, what's a detour? A detour is when you go around to get to the same place. You know, any of y'all ever take a bath? Anybody take math? They always tell you in math, young people know this, the straightest, the quickest way between two points in the what? Straight line. Amen. I'm trying to get from earth to glory. So I want to go in a straight line. Amen. But what happens in a lot of our lives, we start deviating from the principle of the straight line. We want to get there, but I don't want to do it God's way, so I'm going to go over here for a little while. A detour is when you're going around to try to get to the same place because you don't like the obstacles that are in your way. Amen. You got a hurdle in your way, so you're going to want a detour. The devil says, well, that brother or sister don't like you, so you want to leave church, and so you're going to want a little detour. Amen. But I believe God the straightest way between two points in a straight line. Amen. So my heart is fixed. My mind is made up. Nothing is evil or anybody else can stop me because I purpose in my life. No spiritual detour. God is for you, I live, and for you, I die. Whatever you say, however you do, Lord, I do it your way. No spiritual detour. Amen. No shadow of turning. Lord, Numbers chapter 23. No spiritual detour. Now, a lot of us started off with God a long time ago, but we've allowed some shadows. We've allowed some things to turn us. We've allowed some things to cause us to turn away from God. It's time to come back home. I said it's time to come back home. It's time to say, Lord, I've been wrong. Amen. I don't want to wind up in a place of torment, but I want to wind up in a place of joy and peace forever. You ever think of how long eternity is? This way, you only get a chance to go one time. But when God ushers you into eternity, that's forever. There won't be any changes. I know it's just purgatory, and you can pay this, you can pay that, but that's not what Jesus told Lazarus. When Lazarus died and the rich man died. The Bible said Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom and the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And the rich man communed with Father Abraham, said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of the chin and water touch my tongue. He said, but I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham looked at him and said, well, no. You in your lifetime, you received all of the good things you wanted. He said, but now you are tormented and Lazarus is comforted. But he said, there's a problem even though if I wanted to help you, I can't help you because there's a great gulf. There's a big space so that one cannot pass from you to us and we can't go from here to you. So don't believe that lie that one day you can say, Lord, have mercy. It's fixed, it's set. There is no other way around. They can teach, but it's not in the Word of God. I believe that what Jesus said is true and it's final. He said you can't come back. All right, let's go to 23. We're going to start off in verse 18. No variables, neither shadow turning. We want to be like God. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence house steadfast until the end. Don't allow anything to cause you to lose your confidence in God. Verse 18. come against the people of God. Keep God on your side. You don't have to worry about the enemies. Amen. Because you have somebody fighting your battle. Verse 18 reads, and he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thy son of Zippor. God is not. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I say, God is not a man that he should lie. Hallelujah. That's why in your trials and tests, don't run away from the only thing that can ever be true, and that's God. God is not a man that he should lie. So whether preacher, whether not, but God is not a man. Whether deacons and the sisters and the brothers of the church, they were not a man. God is not a man. Therefore, God will not lie. He said, neither is he the son of man that he should. God will never do anything wrong if he has to say no, or he has to say I'm sorry because he's not a man. Well, we have some compromising situations in a lot of our lives, but we're trusting in someone who may lie and someone who may need to repent. When you've got it right with God, he will never lie nor repent. Now, I believe most of us, all of us, are reasonably intelligent, amen?
Amen.
If you're going to have to trust in something, would you want to trust in something that's absolutely, positively, has no error?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, don't absolutely, positively trust in me. I'm just a man. So there's some times I'm going to have to repent. There's some times that I try not to lie, but I may make a mistake, amen? But God, trust in him.
Yes.
Amen. You know, I have to go back when I grew up down south in the Baptist church. We always sing the song, I will trust in the Lord till I die. Amen. What are we saying? No spiritual detours. I won't allow anything that caused me to go off the path that God has set for me. He goes on to say in the last part, hath he sinned and shall he not? Amen. We're not trusting in God. In other words, when God says something, God will not change his mind. If God has told you some things, and this is where condemnation comes in. Now the Bible does say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. But when you get out of Christ, amen. Right? Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the I'm following Jesus. So since I'm following Jesus and I'm in Christ, I don't have no condemnation. But once I start following Jesus, once I start living in the spirit, once I start living in the flesh, I got some condemnation. Amen. But there is no condemnation to those of us that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. You know God knows how you walk. Amen. You cannot get God's approval walking according to your own mind, but you got to do it according to his spirit. So I said, if he said, shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall not he make it good? When God in his word has given us any promises, he will make it good. A man, a woman, your best friend, your neighbor, and sometimes even our loved ones. They won't do it. But God, when he makes you a promise. Verse 20 says, behold, I have received commandments to bless. When God said, you're going to be blessed, you're going to be blessed. So Balaam said, I received commandments to bless, and I cannot reverse it. I cannot change it. So he said, you're blessed. How are you blessed? Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Blessed is the man that refuses to deviate off the spiritual path. Blessed is the man who refuses to allow anything don't get the blessing walking in the flesh. Our blessing comes in the spirit. Now, the Bible says, examine yourselves to see if you're in the what? Faith or not. You just have to decide. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 46, our last scripture before we close. No spiritual detours for you this afternoon. Amen. I got a one-track mind. Amen. Heaven to me is everything. Amen. God. That's the part that God wants us to be like. No variables, neither shallow turning, no spiritual detours. Lord, it's been hard, but I have my mind fixed. My heart is fixed and my mind is made up. I gotta go straight. I won't deviate. I won't go off the path. Amen. The word patience, I should have brought this out a little early. The word patience means to be steadfast. It means not to allow anything to happen in your life to cause you to swerve. You know, you're driving down the road, something comes in your way, you have to what? Swerve. You go off the path, you go around it. You say, well, when you got patience, and you let patience have it, perfect work. When the trial gets too hard, you won't swerve. Why? Because I'm set. I will not deviate. No spiritual detour. I'm going straight. So when you're patient, even in the midst of adversity or the cruelest trial, I won't be swayed. I won't change. I will not turn from God. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. He says, and then he said, my counsel shall stand. And I will go on my pleasures. Counsel is another word that means purpose. Whatever God has purpose in our lives, it will stand. And it won't change. Amen. And when we think of purpose, we think of what Paul wrote to the Romans in 8:28. He said, and we know that all things work together what? For good to them that are called according to his purpose. According to God, counsel. If we are called according to his purpose, don't worry about the test. Don't worry about the trial, because it's going to be all right. Because God's going to make it work together for the good. So keep on the purpose. Keep on the path. Keep on going without the good. No spiritual detours. What is happening in your life? Amen. To cause you to lose your confidence in God. Amen. What tests, what trials? What has caused you to lose your confidence in God, and God never changes? The latter part of verse 11, I'll go to that. He says, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. Whatever God has said in your life. Now, how many know God has spoken some good things in your life?
Amen.
Some of them have not yet come to pass. But God said they will what? Come to pass.
Yes.
Amen. So purpose, no spiritual detour. I don't care how bad the test gets, I'm going to let patience have in perfect work. Lord, work on me. Lord, try me. Whatever it takes for above all else, I must make it together. I must be saved. The latter portion of that says, I have purposed it. We are called according to what? God's purpose.
Yes.
God said, I have purposed it. I will what?
Also
do it. As we said. No spiritual detour. Throw all excuses aside. It's time to make a stand. As the altar team, the ministers, and the elders come forward, you may have drifted away from God. You know, the good thing about God, I know I've been there. I've been saved for 36 years, but I wasn't always perfect and listening to shoes. I made mistakes. But what I like, as we all stand at this time, what I like most about God, if God always works hard to bring us back to the place of reconciliation. The scripture says, those of us that are saved, we receive the ministry of reconciliation. Well, what's reconciliation? Those that have drifted away from God, because we love God and we have the Spirit, our desire is to bring them back to God. I don't judge you based on what you've done or what you said. My desire is to bring you back to God. Well, this afternoon, remember this for God. God said, if I sin, shall I not make it good? If I spoke this, shall I not do it?
Don't allow the devil, a person, or anything to cause you to lose your confidence in God. For when we part in Christ, if we hold something